Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Chase Namick. Chase, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, no problem, man. Definitely appreciate your time.
Awesome. So cool episode because we are doing the video. If you are watching on YouTube, we'll also throw the audio up on the podcast. But Chase, for those who don't know much about you or haven't heard much about you, can you just give us a bit of an intro? Who is Chase, kind of what you're working on right now?
Yeah, so basically I run an Instagram page, like that's my personal brand, and then I run 15 YouTube channels in which I basically delegate the work. So I run YouTube channels where I have workers making the videos, whether that be, you know, Fortnite top 10s, whether that be videos like most expensive houses, just random types of viral videos. I'll make channels based around those, and then I'll have workers produce the content because that's the hardest part on YouTube is producing the content. So I delegate that portion out, which allows me to scale, because obviously if you're making your own videos on YouTube, you can't scale because there's only so much time in a day to make your own videos. So I delegate that part out. I have workers making the content, and I've managed to scale up to 15 channels, a third of which are profitable, make around $100,000 a month off that. And yeah, that's what I'm mainly focused on right now is just the YouTube channels and then also my Instagram personal brand page.
Very cool. And yeah, that's how I found you, was through your Instagram page, which you put a lot of really cool kind of behind the scenes content and look into, which I really enjoy. But obviously you're a young guy. Have you always been entrepreneurial? Kind of when did you get into this YouTube or even business in general?
So 3.5 years ago I started, but in terms of getting into business, like I never really ran a serious business. I mean, I guess I was like flipping iPhones and stuff like that. But to be honest, like everyone nowadays calls themselves an entrepreneur. Like they'll buy a pencil and then they'll sell for $1. And then all of a sudden they're an entrepreneur. So I don't even call myself that just because that word has like a negative, not a negative, but just like a weird connotation to it. So it's like everyone nowadays is an entrepreneur. I don't consider myself that. At the end of the day, I'm just trying to make money. So I really don't care what you call it. You know, if I'm making a lot of money, you can call whatever you want. And it is what it is. But the fact of the matter is what I'm just focused on doing right now is just growing my business and how I started, if that's what you're asking. Yeah, I was like buying and flipping iPhones, just doing a bunch of, you know, small business, if you want to call it that, not making a lot of money. I was selling on eBay, buying and flipping iPhones. I did Shopify, but all of those things that I didn't really succeed with. Like I made a little bit of money and I definitely learned from them. But yeah, definitely a lot of the skills that I learned from those did translate over to YouTube. So yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I had some type of like entrepreneurial spirit, if you want to call it that, but yeah.
Right. And so at what point did you make the switch? You said you were trying all these other things, the Shopify, the flipping phones, all this stuff. I mean, that's just part of the journey, right? You talk to any entrepreneur, solopreneur, they're going to have tried other things, failed at other things, learned in other things. When was it that you started with YouTube and why? Like, what was it that interested you about it so much?
Yeah, so I started 3.5 years ago, and it was, I mean, probably closer to 4 years now, but predominantly because like I saw people making money on it. It seemed like a relatively easy way to make money. Obviously, it's not easy by any means, but at the time I was more naive and I thought it was easier. Mm-hmm. Definitely took a lot of trial and error and time and everything like that. But I started mainly because I saw guys making money. The guys that were making money, they didn't seem like geniuses. So I saw them doing it and I thought, okay, then I can do that too. And obviously when I first started, I definitely didn't get results. It took me about 1.5 years to start getting traction. But yeah, eventually I started making, you know, a couple thousand a month and whatnot, and then scaled up from there. But yeah, I mean, the main reason why I got into it, I was looking for ways to make money online. It seemed like one of the most viable ways. So that's why I got into it.
Right. And can you talk a bit about those first 6 months when you got started? You said it took about 1.5 years to really get traction, but what were you doing at the beginning and how were you even learning about what to try? Were you watching YouTube videos? Were you, you know, reading books? Were you just emulating the other channels and stuff like that?
Yes. So I was sort of, at the time I was doing like Call of Duty content. So I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a popular video game, but I was just doing like random Call of Duty videos and I was just looking at, you know, what was working, what wasn't for other channels and sort of replicating. And I didn't get much success with that by any means, but I learned a lot like from doing those Call of Duty videos about like titles, descriptions, tags, like how the whole system works and everything like that. And then that helped translate over to the content that I'm doing nowadays. But yeah, I mean, it took about probably 1.5 years to start even making any money whatsoever. But once I saw the fact that I could make money, you know, I saw the potential and then I went full, full-fledged into it. That's the thing. Once most people see the potential, even if they make like $10 a day, then psychologically they'll be like, okay, this is legit. I can make money with this. And then they go full force with it. But if you don't believe it, then you're not even going to work to do it. So like, that's the main thing, is just getting to that point where you first see the fact that like, you're even making 10 bucks a day. And then at least, you know, like, it's legit.
Right. Yeah. It's so important. And were you focusing on other things at the time? Like, were you in school? Were you working? Was this full-time kind of from the start?
No, definitely wasn't like full-time. I mean, I was like 17, like at the time, maybe like 16.
Oh, wow.
So I was in school, like in high school, wasn't working, was just, you know, in high school. And then on the side, I like did YouTube.
Very cool. And what happened when you finished high school, if you don't mind me asking? Like, did you pursue college? Did you not even bother?
Yeah. So when I finished high school, I was doing about 20,000 a month. So I didn't decided not to go through with college. So yeah, I mean, I went full force there, which definitely is risky, obviously, because without a college degree, I mean, you're pretty limited in terms of like what jobs you could get. But yeah, I mean, I guess I pretty much, you know, burned the boats. Like, I forced myself to make it happen. And that's the best thing to do, is like what Tony Robbins says, if you're doing something, burn the boats. That way you have no choice but to make it happen.
Absolutely. And like, sure, you might not be able to get a traditional job, but someone like you is probably going to be your own boss for the rest of your life. So, you know, that doesn't really matter in that sense. What would you say to people who might be in college now, or they're in the corporate world and they've got ideas like this? You know, YouTube looks like it's got some potential, Instagram, or they have a business idea. Do you have any advice to them on how to get started or start taking some action?
Yeah, I mean, just starting, like, imperfect action is the key. Everyone, you know, they don't want to start. They want to talk themselves out of starting. Just getting your foot in the door and starting, it's going to be imperfect action. You know, it's going to be really sloppy at first, but as you go on, just, you know, you continuously improve, you get better, you find what works, you double down on what works, you weed out what doesn't. And as time goes on, you get better and better, but no one wants to start out because they know when they start, things are going to be super sloppy. And, it's just going to like, you know, it's just going to basically, you know, lower their confidence. And that's the problem, right? When people start, is they just, you know, they want instant results. They don't want to put in the work over the long term to delay the gratification, which in the beginning, like I said, it's going to be very sloppy. You're not going to get results. Things are not going to go as planned. But eventually, if you keep working with imperfect action, you will start getting some traction. And once you get that traction, you'll believe in yourself, and then you could actually do it.
For sure. Do you think there was a turning point, or did you hit kind of like an inflection point where you like figured it out, quote unquote, or was it just the gradual imperfect action slowly improving with your processes over time?
I guess there was a turning point. Like when I first had like my first big month, which was like 18,000, like once I saw that, then I was like, okay, like this is definitely, there's a lot of money to be made. And like, then I really went full force with it. But in terms of, what was the other question?
Well, like, was it kind of one moment in time, or was it, you know, like, was there a time where it just kind of all clicked, or was it a little bit more gradual where the big success kind of came through?
Yeah, I think it was definitely more gradual. If I had to say, I don't think there was like a moment where it clicked. I mean, now based on the fact that like I've managed to get multiple channels going, you know, there is, I guess you could say it clicked because the skills I learned applied to like all the channels and applied to starting new channels and everything like that. But obviously if I didn't go through the years of, you know, trial and error and trying to figure it out and learning along the way, it wouldn't have clicked. So I would say it's definitely more gradual.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And it's kind of in theme with everything else that we've talked about, which is, you know, you got to put in the work, you got to put in the effort. The results aren't going to come overnight. But Chase, what's really impressed me with you and your content is you have like a system in place, right? This is not like a simple, well, it's fairly simple, you could say, in a way, but you've clearly developed a whole system to run multiple channels. You know, they kind of support one another. You have a system with your outsourcing and things like that. There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle that you probably didn't read in like a single book. I'm interested to know kind of about what your learning experience was like over that, you know, maybe first year and a half. Were you reading a lot? Was it trial and error? Did you have a mentor? Were you, you know, in a friend group or you know, like mentorship relationship with another YouTuber? Like how were you learning all that stuff, or was a lot of it just trial and error?
So it was a lot of trial and error. I mean, I did pay for consulting from like Tim Schmoyer and Daryl Leaves. Those two guys, like they run YouTube tip channels, but that wasn't till way further into it. So it was trial and error, learning from them, learning from their free content. And then obviously I paid them for consultation as well. So did one of my friends. So me and along with one of my friends paid Daryl Leaves for consulting. And then we both, you know, went into it asking a bunch of different questions. So we both got knowledge from it. And then we shared that knowledge between each other.
Right.
That definitely helped like significantly, but yeah, I mean, I learned a lot on my own as well. It was both definitely helped. Yeah. I mean, I definitely didn't learn at the fastest speed. 3.5 years, you know, that's quite a long time. It could take way faster than that. It's just when I started, I was so naive and I didn't really know how the platform worked. I was younger, so I was not as smart and everything like that. So, I mean, you could really start making money on YouTube and like 4 to 6 months, 8 months, it's more than possible. It doesn't have to take 3.5 years, which it didn't. It took me 1.5 years to get traction, but to get to where I am now, obviously it took 3.5.
Right, for sure. Which still, I mean, 1.5 years, that's probably about average for a lot of like businesses, you know, they don't happen overnight, especially at a young age with no work experience in that regard. It's really impressive. So let's shift a little bit over to more specifically about YouTube. Obviously, you know a ton about it. Do you have any tips for beginners, maybe just people who have never even made their own video, kind of just thoughts about the platform in general and why it stuck out to you so much at the beginning? Like, why not Facebook Lives or obviously lives, you know, aren't as incorporated in your content, but, you know, other types of content platforms?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the time back in probably like, what was it, 2015, 2016, like I think YouTube was the only platform that you could directly monetize on. Now you can monetize on Twitter. You can monetize on Facebook, Instagram. You can't monetize directly, but obviously indirectly you could sell products, courses, whatever the case may be. But YouTube was the only platform that you could directly monetize on. And that seemed to be the easiest route. So that's why I went with YouTube, was just the fact that it was just much less barrier to entry to actually monetize.
Right. Makes sense. And what was your approach at the beginning? Were you making everything start to finish yourself? Were you outsourcing fairly early on, or was that kind of a gradual development as well?
Yeah. So I was originally producing the content like Call of Duty videos and whatnot. And then after probably, I'd like to say 1.5 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, then I got someone and I wasn't paying him directly. What I was doing was I was giving him a percentage of the channel. So I gave him 30% in the channel and he was working for that 30%, and the channel ended up taking off and he made his money from that. And I used the money off of that channel to then start a bunch of others.
Right. Do you recommend that to others? Because it sounds like obviously lower upfront cost, probably much bigger cost over the long run, especially if the channel does really well, but you're not risking much of your own capital. Would you recommend that to other people, that strategy?
Yeah, so it definitely minimizes risk. The problem is it's very hard to find someone to do that. I managed to build the channel 80,000 subscribers before I gave that person equity. If you're starting off with a channel with 0 subscribers, there's zero reason why someone's going to want equity and work for you when they could go start their own channel. I had leverage because I had built up 80,000 subscribers. So if you don't have that leverage, then obviously it's going to be practically impossible to find someone to do that for you, because you have to bring something to the table if they're going to be working for free with just equity. I would recommend it, like, depending on the situation, if you already have a pre-built channel. But in the long run, it obviously ended up costing me way more than just paying a flat rate per video. But it minimized the risk for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's say someone has an idea for a channel. They watch this video. They really like the potential of YouTube. They know the platform a little bit, but they've never done anything before. Maybe they have an idea for like a niche or a topic. Do you have 2 or 3 tips on how someone could get started and set themselves up for success, other than following you on Instagram, obviously?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say the main thing is like focusing on building the initial audience, because if you don't have, it's way harder to grow on YouTube if you don't have an initial audience. So if you're starting from zero, which is where 99% of people are starting from, it's almost impossible, not almost impossible, but it's very difficult to like break out fast. You could do it over the long period of time, but you're not going to do it fast. So, you know, if you could if you could come in with money and you could pay for promos, if you could like pay for advertising, if you could find ways to get like a few thousand subscribers before you start, that's going to help significantly, because then you'll have like an initial viewer base. If you don't have that ability, then obviously you have to just like put in more time. It'll just take longer. But the key is just building that initial audience, sticking to one niche. Like, you don't want to just go out there and make basketball videos, soccer videos, and then vlogs. You want to just find one niche and then stick to that. And then also just doing like at least three videos a week, you know, trying to build that initial audience and then sticking to one niche. Like, over the long term, if you're doing it right, you should start getting some traction.
Right, right. Very, very good stuff. Any tips in terms of, like, you use Instagram, it's kind of your personal brand, but you use Instagram to kind of help with that part of your business. Do you recommend using other platforms, or are there other strategies where you can use other platforms to try and give your YouTube channel an extra boost, basically?
Yes. I mean, I have like a 2 million network on Instagram with a bunch of accounts like Ron Weasley, Walking Dead 2, just a bunch of like random pages that I have people running for me. And I have leveraged those to promote some channels. The only problem is like when people are coming from Instagram and you do like a swipe up to one of your videos, a lot of the times those viewers are going to like click on the video and then click off right after 10 seconds because they're on Instagram. Everything, you know, is short, straight to the point. Very instantaneous, whereas YouTube is more long form content. So when they're coming from Instagram, they're in the state of mind of, you know, short content, straight to the point, and then they go over and swipe up to a YouTube video, typically they're still in that, you know, short instant gratification type mindset. So they're going to click on the video, they're going to watch for 10 seconds and click off, and that's just going to destroy the video's potential. So, you know, it's, you could promote the channel from Instagram, but you don't want to promote the individual videos, because when you promote the individual videos, the viewers aren't going to give you good views. They're going to click on the video and then click right off, which that's super detrimental to a channel.
Right. That's a really good point. Do you think there's another platform then that would be better to try and promote the videos specifically?
I would say YouTube itself. I mean, you know, promoting on YouTube itself, whether it's paying for ads from other channels, community posts, whatever the case may be, it's a lot more beneficial than promoting on like Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, because all those platforms, people are not, one, when they're actually on those platforms, they're in the mind frame of just quick content, you know, just browsing through it. They're not really on those platforms to sit down and watch a video for 7 minutes. So if they do get promoted that 7 minute video, 9 times out of 10, they're going to click it, watch for 10 seconds and click right off.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. And I'll have to think about doing that myself. In terms of the content itself, you said like 7 minute videos. And then you also talked about how you were, you know, making these kind of top 10 list type stuff. Is that the content that you focus on and recommend to others?
It depends. Like, if you're making your own videos, you could do whatever. You could do vlogs, you could do beauty, whatever. If you're delegating, you have other workers, you know, making the videos for you, you know, list videos, sports videos, anything, you know, Fortnite top 10s, that, like, those could all definitely work. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really say it's like the number one recommendation, but I would say it could definitely work. You know, I don't think there's any niche in particular where it's like the easiest to break into. There's some that are better than others, but I don't think there's one that just absolutely stands out completely.
Right, right. So if someone has picked out their niche, what do you recommend if they picked it, like, let's say they're interested in something, but they have no idea what to do in terms of content. Do you have any recommendations in that regard?
Like, look at what the competition's doing. So like, go to the successful channels within that niche. And then you could obviously examine what videos worked for them, what videos didn't, and you could get a basis off of that. And you could, you know, mirror what worked for them and then, you know, disregard what didn't work. That definitely could work very well, because if it worked for them, it's probably pretty viable and it will probably work for you. Yeah. I mean, that's what YouTube is. Pretty much everyone just copies each other for the most part. Everything's already been done before. You're not going to really do anything original.
Yeah. It's kind of counterintuitive, because the way that goes into my head is like, if I see someone else has done something, my first thought is, well, someone's already done it before, so I need to do something else. But obviously that's not the case, especially if you can add some of your own flavor, right? Or make it a little bit better. So, you know, I guess what I'm almost saying to myself and to others is don't let that be a stopper, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if someone's ever, it's already done before. If you've thought of it, it's already been done before 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, especially on YouTube, considering the fact that there's probably millions of videos uploaded every day. Mm-hmm. Anything you think of has probably already been done. And if you think of something completely out the box, like, you know, unplugging your phone and throwing it off a balcony or some kind of stupid idea like that, like, you probably won't get views because no one's searching for it. So if you do think of something crazy outside of the box, most likely it won't perform because there's a reason why nobody's done it.
Right. And so you said, you mentioned the 10 times before and you're wearing the 10X hat. I'm curious to know, you know, other than guys like Grant Cardone, who are the type of people that you follow that you recommend other people follow to, you know, get good content, educate themselves and stuff like that?
So like the main people that I watch probably would be, definitely Grant Cardone. I would say Ty Lopez, Kevin David, Dan Henry. Those would be the main guys. Sam Ovens, Dan Henry, Kevin David, Grant Cardone. Like those are definitely the main ones for sure. Just people that are in like similar businesses to me and then people that are really killing it. Like Alex Becker as well. That's another one. I just like look for people who are really like just 10 to 100 steps ahead of me, just because obviously I don't want to get complacent with where I am. So I look at where they're at, and then those are people that I look up to so I can try to get to where they're at.
For sure. Any other suggestions in terms of motivation and getting that kind of confidence? You know, you're at a really good spot right now, but obviously, like you said, you don't want to stay complacent. You want to keep growing. What about people, maybe they're closer to the beginning of their journey or right at the beginning of their journey? Do you have any words of wisdom for how they can get through the grind or, you know, like get ready for that, those months that it does take to really start growing something great?
Yeah. I mean, just like, cutting out distractions and just focusing on that one thing, like, will significantly increase the probability of actually making it something viable. Because obviously if you're diverting your attention between a job, your side hustle, you know, an iPhone flipping business and 3 podcasts, you're probably going to have much less likely of a chance of making one of those things click because you're diverting your attention to so many different areas. So just focusing on that one thing. I mean, it is much, much, much more difficult to make, you know, your business become something that is lucrative when you're working a regular job, because, you know, you're working multiple crazy hours every day and you're coming home from work and you're tired and you're not in the same mind frame as someone who's just focused on that business. So you are at a disadvantage, but that's not to say that you still can't make it work. You're just at a much, much more of a disadvantage, which is just the cold hard truth. You know, anyone that tells you different is lying, because at the end of the day, if you're competing with someone who's just focused on business and you're working a job 8 hours a day, you know, driving there, driving back, getting home, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're sleep deprived, you have much less of a chance than someone who's just focused on that business. But that should just drive you to like work harder and smarter.
Right. And I remember I heard an Elon Musk interview where, you know, they were talking about hustle and like that word gets thrown around a lot. And he was like, at the end of the day, if you're working 40 hours a week on your business and I'm working 80 hours a week on my business, how much more work am I going to have gotten done by the end of the year? Probably a lot more, and probably a lot more results.
Yeah, so exactly.
That is kind of like a hot topic now, like, you know, grinding and hustling and like working too hard. But at the end of the day, the more work you put in, the more quality work you put in, probably the better the result that you're going to get at the end of the day. Chase, this has been really, really great hearing some really cool insights. Do you have any last words for people who are out there, you know, they're working a 9-to-5, maybe they don't even know what they want to do. Maybe they're not interested in YouTube. They have some like other ideas and they just don't really know where to start. What would you recommend to them?
In terms of like what they want to do, that's obviously up to them, but I would say just focusing on one thing, cutting out distractions, like cutting out anything that they think could probably decrease the chances of them becoming successful. And, just thinking long-term, just thinking in, you know, 1-to-3-year span, not 1-to-3-month span, that will put you way ahead of the curve.
Awesome. Those are wise words. And where can people find you if they want to hear more from you, follow you, you know, Instagram handle, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So Instagram's just Chase Namick. And not sure we covered in this episode, but I mean, just for the viewers, what, so Josh, that's your first name, right? Josh, because it says that in the corner. Yeah. I don't know if you want me to call you a solopreneur or not, because I know that's your Instagram handle. But yeah, so Josh actually did work with me on one of my programs. So I'm curious, like, what were your thoughts on that program, just like for the viewers and everything? Because I do have a lot of people ask, you know, have you had other people work with you? You know, what are their thoughts? So I'm just curious what your thoughts were from going through my one-on-one mentorship program.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned getting some help for yourself on YouTube, and I've been working on my YouTube as well, and just got to the point where I was like, I need someone who knows this better than me so that I can, you know, get through that learning curve a lot quicker. So I work with Chase. We had the call. I think we spoke for about an hour and a half for the first consult, and it was really good. I think for those who have listened to this full interview will kind of understand that you are a person who is very good at just being succinct and to the point, and like saying things how it is. And I felt like that's how the call went. You know, you shared the document with the point form of like the agenda, what we were going to cover. It all made sense. It flowed. It was quality information, most of which I hadn't thought about before. And, you know, it was an easygoing conversation. You left a lot of room for me to ask my questions, and, you know, very, very supportive. So I found that there was a ton of value. And, you know, I've been following up, you know, we've been keeping in touch over Instagram, which has been really helpful as well. And I'm excited to hopefully continue growing the channel and, you know, keeping in touch with you and your community and, you know, watching everyone kind of grow together.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely appreciate it. Like my main focus is, it's like, if you could get a client results, then that client becomes like a lifetime customer. So for me personally, it's like, if I work with someone, they pay me like $1,000, whatever the case may be, that $1,000 might not change my life, but if that person goes out there, you know, starts making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, whatever the case may be, then that person not only achieves success, which will then result in referrals, but also the fact that that person will then become a lifetime customer. You know, pretty much what Grant Cardone does. He has a value ladder. He sells you a product, you get results, you go buy another product. So a lot of people just focus their business on one-time customers. You really can't make money that way. You either have to be in the referral business or the reorder business or both. So I know, you know, when I work with someone, I'm going to like really hone in on making sure that person gets results. Cause then if they get results, that's a lifetime customer for life. So yeah, for sure, man, definitely was good working with you. And obviously we're still working and everything like that.
Exactly. So I highly recommend following Chase at Chase Namick. We'll link to that in the description below. Chase, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate your time and looking forward to keeping in touch.
Yeah, definitely appreciate your time, man.
Hey everyone, Josh here, checking in just one last time. Wanted to say thanks so much for listening to the podcast episode. I hope you got a ton of value out of it. And if you want to keep getting more of the Solopreneur Grind content, make sure to join the email list. What I do is send 3 emails a week with additional content, such as what's going on in the background of my solopreneur journey, insights I'm having on business, and updates when new podcast episodes like these come out as well. It's free. It always will be. The link to join is in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening this to on. Really hope to have you on the list and continuing to share these awesome solopreneur journeys and insights with you as well. Have a great day and hope to see you soon.